Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news, with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele.
Welcome to a very special segment of Cinema Savants. I know you've been listening to the show already, because otherwise that would be really weird. We have a fantastic guest today. He's not really a guest. He's a returning, formerly incarcerated contributor and founder of the show, Mr. Lee Vowell. Lee, how are you?
My this founder? Day? I don't think I'm the founder. I think it was, if anything, it was both of us, I think.
Co-founder. It was like, let's be all technical about it. Co-founder. Like co-conspirator. Ooh, that would actually be better. Yes. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I'm happy to be here. And so I don't get fined as well.
There you go. I'm happy to be anywhere. All right. So being that this is Thanksgiving week, as you're listening to this, you're probably a few days away from turkey and then one extra day away from turkey cutlets and turkey sandwiches and on and on and on. Before we get to turkeys and celebrating turkeys of various form, there was a sad event in the land of entertainment. And Rob and I have talked about it already, but Lee, any thoughts on the passing of Stan Lee?
Bruce Lee's brother, great martial artist. I mean, I don't really know what I can say. I mean, he's probably going to be buried in Seattle, just like Bruce and Brandon are. Sad. Is that what we're talking about?
Thank you.
No, obviously. I mean, what we're going to miss most, I think, at this point is all the cameos he had in his movies. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with those going forward. Do they CGI Stan Lee in the movies upcoming? Or is the next, Avengers or next Marvel film not one of these things where you see stuff at the end through the credits? It's just a montage of Stan Lee. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. But obviously, over the last few years, he's had some financial issues and family issues and all that. So, and he had a full life, and good for him for doing that. But, the movies have taken on a life of their own. All the creations he made will be missed. He wasn't really creating so much anymore. He was more just being an iconic person. I'll miss seeing his cameos, that's for sure. It was always like, where is Stan Lee going to be in this film? kind of thing. There he is driving the bus. But he'll be missed. More of a sadness thing, just honor what he did, what he was able to do with his life, and just how much joy he's brought to, literally billions of people. We should all hope for that in our lives, and few of us will ever get there, but good for him for doing so.
Yeah, as I understand it, the cameos for Avengers 4, whatever it's going to be titled, and Captain Marvel were already shot, so those will be there anyway. So, but yeah, we'll see what they do moving forward, to honor his legacy, other than keep on making $1 billion movies, which kind of honors his legacy in itself. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I wonder where that, this, because of all the financial issues he's had, I wonder where that money goes now. You know what I mean? Is it going to be tied up in the courts for decades?
Probably so. It sounds like they should call in Steve Rogers and just like settle this. Won't be legal, but it'll be settled, believe me.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, we are talking about turkeys because Thanksgiving. So we each have a great turkey from the cinema world. Three great turkeys, actually. A film, a director, an actor. And I think we should actually save the films for last. So if you would like to kick off with, would you like to choose an actor first or go with your director?
Sure. Yeah. My actor is someone who, from what I understand in real life, is pretty pompous and jerkish as well. But it kind of comes across that way in his films, of several of which I've seen because of being involved in martial arts a long time ago. But Steven Seagal is he coming off the screen. It's just it's horribleness. And he's terrible. And it's just, it makes you wonder what deal he made with the devil to have his films make as much money as they did, 30 years ago or whenever it was, 20, God, I guess it was 30 years ago at this point when they were really making money. But Steven Seagal, it's just one of those people who gets to be a star in movies, who has no business being a star in movies, and takes the place of somebody who deserves to be in his place. And so Steven Seagal is probably the worst actor I've seen. I almost hate to say worst actor, because is he really an actor? He's just somebody on the screen. But
good point. And I've read the same things that in his personal life, he's kind of like even almost even worse. So, yeah.
Hey, well, he, this is off off his movies, but yeah. his martial art is Aikido. And so he has an Aikido dojo in Los Angeles. And so 30 years ago, whenever I was involved in Aikido was my martial art, and several people had met him who in the area I lived in at the time, had met him in real life, just whatever way they met him, and whether it was a seminar or whatever, they all said 100%. And if Steven Seagal is listening, I don't care. They 100% guy's a jerk in real life. And it's just like, that's a shame. You know, because that's how he looks on the screen, and so he's not really acting. He's just playing himself because that's how he is in real life, too.
That is quite a shame. Yeah, that's very unfortunate. But yeah, there's so many great potential choices for turkeys among the actors, right? I'm going to go with Tim Allen. Obviously, he's very popular, as is Seagal, right? But Tim Allen, to me, just plays himself over and over. I mean, he's the one thing that kept Galaxy Quest from being a great movie instead of a good movie, because he's Tim Allen. He's Tim Allen in everything he does. And to me, that's just an obnoxious jerk. And that has nothing to do with his politics, which he's an obnoxious jerk in this film. But God, the guy cannot act. And he's not an interesting person. So his appeal is completely beyond me. And it's... I can't remember now if there's a movie or a TV show, but there's one that's coming out that's lampooning the concept of the big, stupid, oafish jerk husband who has the smart, beautiful wife, which is, I don't know, is that like half of the sitcoms that have ever been made? I mean, it's just... I don't know if The Honeymooners was the first one to start that concept, but it was certainly one of the very early ones, if not the first. Actually, I think it goes back long before that to radio shows. But the character of Ralph Cramden was very good. It was a very interesting character. Yes, he was a buffoon, but he still had a kind heart at the end, and they always made that clear at the end of the show. That doesn't really happen with these other shows. And back to Tim Allen, he sucks, and that's all there is to do. On to director.
Well, I'm going to do the obvious one, but hopefully this next movie will be okay. But M. Night Shyamalan, just because... He started off so well and digressed with every film that happened after, happened after The Sixth Sense, really, because The Village was a little worse and blah, blah, blah. Signs was a little worse. But it was funny because it's like, I wonder, maybe he's so talented that was his intention. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to hit my high mark in my second film. And then I'm going to intentionally make films gradually worse, because that takes talent. It's not like they were a little worse. And then the next one was better or a little worse. And then the other one was even. It was like they were gradually worse and worse and worse. So, I mean, maybe that's his real talent. I mean, because that takes a lot of effort. But just how disappointing his films became in leading up to the film that I'll mention as far as the biggest turkey to me. But it's just, you know, he showed, was The Sixth Sense a great film? It was to me. And maybe there was a little bit of, it was a lucky thing. But Unbreakable was also really good. So, you know, the talent was there, but what happened to it? So that's why it's the biggest turkey to me, is because of the disappointment of how his films eventually turned out one after another.
And I really can't not say Shyamalan. Hey, there again, I couldn't say it. I totally agree with everything you say, but just to have a different name in there. And to me, one of the reasons to name him as the turkey is because, again, immense talent, obviously, early on, and now it seems to be coming back. So what happened, dude?
Yeah.
But the one thing, that reason I'll keep him off the list, is because he does have The Sixth Sense to his credit. He does have Unbreakable. So to me, it's kind of hard to put him on the list.
And The Last Airbender.
And that's, yeah, which is kind of a reason to put him on there, because he has made some wonderful films and he has made some of the most god-awful films ever. But I'm going to go with Michael Bay. Because Michael Bay, while he has made some entertaining films, they're still stupid. I mean, I enjoy Armageddon, but it's a big, loud, stupid movie. And that's the pinnacle of his achievement to me. The guy who just reshoots Transformers over and over and over in six movies in the freaking sequence now. And now, suddenly, the first movie in the Transformers over that actually looks like it might be worth something, it's not a Michael Bay film. Huh, how'd that happen? And we'll see if Bumblebee's actually good. But I mean, just from the trailers, it looks like, oh my God, it has story and it has characters you care about. Something Michael Bay has never heard of. So Michael Bay he doesn't suck because that's Tim Allen. That's an exclusive for him. But Michael Bay is really, really bad. And at least M. Night has created some really great films. Can't say that for Mr. Bay.
Yeah, Michael Bay is third for highest grossing film over the entirety of his career, $6.45 billion, third all time. Of course, this isn't, you know, it's not for inflation and all that. So if you go back to like the 30s, it's not going to, it's all new films because Christopher Nolan's on there at number six. But it's just like, man,
there's no time for taste.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, of course, is number one, then Peter Jackson, which kind of makes sense, and then Michael Bay.
Right. So. I mean, it always reminds me of when Home Alone for several years was the all time top grossing comedy. And it's like, you know, it's a funny movie, but really? That deserves to be the highest grossing comedy when there are, I don't know, 100 comedies that are better.
Yeah,
okay.
At
probably
least.
Probably 1,000 that are better. Yeah. So again, box office, I mean, that's, it's a business. So of course that's what it's about. So Michael Bay will make movies as long as he wants to because he makes money. But the one thing he doesn't make is quality. Anyway, our turkey films.
Go ahead.
Time to hear what your all-time turkey is going to be.
Forrest Gump. No, I'm just kidding. It's The Happening because, again, to me, it was the only film I've ever seen where I felt like the director was personally trying to offend me. Because I just, it was a stupid concept. I mean, I get that he may have been trying to make a statement about how we should protect, you know, the world and the environment, but I'm not really sure if it came off that way because the whole premise was there's this wind that blows through and it's taking away people's will to live. But
and
that what's that?
And their ability to act. Anyway.
Well, yes. Well, and that's another part I was about to get to. But the problem is that people are like the guy who has the lawnmower run over him.
Yes.
The thing is, it's not taking away your will to live. It's changing it to they have a will to die. And those are two different things. And I feel like the film just was like, kind of lost me on that. I mean, I get the fact that, I don't care what happens, blah, blah, blah. But wanting to die is an action unto itself. So, you know, that's why I was kind of offended by the film. It was just like, I feel like you're totally missing what your point's supposed to be. But then his direction specifically on Mark Wahlberg, who's not, he's not a great actor. He seems like he seems like he'd be a good friend. And he's not a bad actor, but he was bad in that film because I feel the direction that was given him was, this is how I want you to say your lines. And it was awful. It was horrible.
Was he given direction or was he just like told to read something off a prescription bottle?
No, I mean, and that's the thing is you don't see him in any other film like that. So that clearly was the direction that Shyamalan gave him. This is how I want you to say it, which is dumb. I mean, every aspect of that, I mean, you could break it down any possible way. Every scene is probably horrible. And then they end up talking through the two. It's just stupid. I mean, it's dumb. And I hated wasting my money at the theater to see it. I didn't think it would ever be that bad, but it was the worst film that I've ever spent money on at the theater because it was just such a huge disappointment.
As did I. And the second worst film I've ever spent money on at the theater is another M. Night Shyamalan joint, which you mentioned earlier, The Last Airbender, which was absolutely awful. I'm going to go with The Last Airbender. And sorry, M. Night, but yeah, you're a double winner in this category. And God, there are so many possibilities for biggest turkey of all time. But in some ways, to me, The Last Airbender is more of a turkey than The Happening. The Happening is a worse movie, no doubt. But The Last Airbender is no prize either. It's awful. It sucks. It's terrible. Direction is ridiculous. But the difference to me is you've got a huge built-in base and you've got this rich world of The Last Airbender, which is a very popular anime show. And he basically ignored most of what happened, decided to cast, which is weird for a person of color, an ethnic person, and he decided to cast a bunch of Caucasians as Asians. And then the villains were all dark-skinned. What are you doing? What are you thinking of? And aside from that, it was terrible. My God, it was awful. And I'm not a fan of the series. I went with a friend who was, and it was just like a nonstop very low voiced rant about, oh my God, why? Oh my God, why? You know, of all the things that were done incorrectly in the show. And it's just even not connected to The Last Airbender. It's terrible. And for people who were fans of the show, it was obviously even worse. So how on earth can you make movies like The Sixth Sense and then turn around and make not one, but two of the, and no one will disagree with this. These are two of the worst movies of all time. Now, I don't know if they're on everyone's top 10 or bottom 10 list, but I guarantee you they would be on the bottom 50 of anyone's list that's a fan of films. That's a hell of an achievement. Like when you, like you said, nominating him as your turkey or naming him as your turkey, the guy's got, obviously he's got terrific talent. So how on earth are you capable of these heights and then turning out crap like this? So yeah, that's, it's a sad thing. And it really made you worry to, boy, should I risk my life and my sanity by going to see this? Because I'm not going to risk money. I'm going to wait till it's on Amazon or Netflix or something. But now he's turned it around. Apparently he's got two good movies under his belt. So we'll see how things go.
That we will.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention the one Thanksgiving movie. And I know there's Free Birds and there's other garbage, but I mean, there's only one movie for this holiday. And of course it's Planes, Trains and Automobiles. And I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but I do just want to mention it, how funny it is, how sweet it is. And it's very fitting for Thanksgiving. And it's basically about two guys trying to get home for Thanksgiving. And it turns out that one of them, he has a little less to go back to than you thought of initially. Steve Martin is excellent in this. And John Candy is, I really think he's phenomenal in this. When it finally gets to the core of who he really is. Really, really good movie. And I think it's, sadly, I think it's overlooked. Because I think it's really an excellent movie. And people kind of think more of the pillows scene. And which is absolutely hilarious. But the movie has a lot of emotional depth. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's my favorite Thanksgiving film ever. Actually, I was looking at the list of Thanksgiving films, of which there are much more than I thought. And there's a bunch of good ones. There's probably almost as many good ones as far as really good quality as there are Christmas films. Son of a Woman.
Okay.
Pieces of April. I mean, there's tons of The Ice Storm. It's not really a Thanksgiving film, but it takes place around Thanksgiving. Avalon. I mean, there's just like, you know, a whole bunch of them. But yeah, I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is also my favorite. And you didn't mention it, but, you know, it's that movie came out in 1987. Oh, my gosh. That sounds crazy. But, you know, you mentioned it or you alluded to it. But the fact is that John Candy talks about his wife and his wife passed away. And we don't know that until later on in the film. And that's what brings to me the emotional heaviness, and that good heaviness is when, you know, Steve Martin says, oh, you know, this guy isn't such a jerk that I thought he was, and ends up. Yeah. I mean, it's a great film. And I saw it at the theater. I think I saw it twice at the theater when it came out. I've always liked Steve Martin, and John Candy is not somebody. Sorry, I was thinking the John Candy moment I'm thinking of is when Joe Montana sees him sitting in the Super Bowl, and Joe Montana's like, I think that's John Candy on that last drive. And Randy Cross is like, we're all like stressed out, and he's like pointing people out, and we knew then we were going to win. It's just crazy. But anyway, But yeah, John Candy seemed like a very likable person, which to me, I always give people the benefit of the doubt, even if their films are crap. You know, he always played the same kind of character, but I agree. I think he's phenomenal in that film because the chemistry between he and Martin is again, phenomenal for lack of finding a better word. But yeah, that's really what drives the film.
It does. I mean, it's really the relationship between these two people who. It's the pushback, and God, if you haven't seen it, you've got to watch this movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, because it's the guy who so desperately wants to be friends versus the guy who just get the hell away from me, you're doing the evil. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful because they both do such a great job.
Whatever happened to John Hughes?
Just to go off on a tangent, another John Hughes movie that people typically don't think of with John Hughes is She's Having a Baby. And I know that's not like the most popular film he did and never will be. But to me, that I love that movie. I think that movie has a lot of heart as well. Anyway, the guy's just did so many movies that were fantastic. Oh, you know what happened to him? He died. I forgot.
Did he really? He didn't really die, did he? Did he die?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that. When was that?
I totally forgot that. Almost 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
2009. Well, so that's what happened to John Hughes. That's why the world is in the state it's in, because John Hughes isn't around to give us another movie.
Huh. Well, it was funny because he made so many literally iconic films, and they, a lot of them seemed kid-based, or not kid, but, you know, young adult-based, as far as, like, you know, Ferris Bueller and stuff like that. But then then he made those other films. It's just, but then he seemed to stop. So it's just kind of interesting. I don't know if he stopped making films or he just stopped making quality films.
Well, he stopped breathing, and that kind of hurt.
Well, but years later, you know, I mean, yeah, this was like in the late 80s.
Well, this explains it. His last film was Curly Sue. He probably couldn't get any backing since then. Didn't realize that was him. Good Lord. But interesting, because he kept writing. So strange. Interesting. Yeah.
He directed 8 films: 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, She's Having a Baby. Oh, and then Uncle Buck. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're like, not so much. Not so much anymore.
Yeah. So maybe we're lucky that he didn't continue to direct, because kind of looked like he was finally starting to take the path of M. Night. but that's okay, because that's a pretty strong core before you get to Uncle Buck. Uncle Buck's not terrible, but... it doesn't compare to the other films, that's for sure. So
No.
I mean, look at that, 84, 85, 85, 86, 87, 88. That's a pretty strong 4 years.
Yeah.
Amazing. Not a turkey, John Hughes, for sure.
Gobble, gobble.
And anyway, I believe you have a review of a film.
I do. Citizen Kane. Overrated. I Once Had a Sled Too. There's no way you can put it in a fire like that. That's it.
Never heard of Citizen Kane. What is that? It's a sledding movie? Is this the sequel to Cool Runnings?
No. It's a porn film. But
well, I can't believe I haven't heard of it then.
Yeah, it's a sled. It's not really a sled. So,
so he was able to throw into a fire. Anyway,
that's right. Yes, called Crabs. So, all right.
Stop laughing.
Just quietness. Okay. So, so I went to see a film the day after it came out, which is probably the quickest I've seen a film in some time. I went to see Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Such a tongue twister. But I have to say, I did not see the first film. So I didn't see Fantastic Beasts and whatever. You know, everybody's seen the Harry Potter films. They give it to you at birth. Here's the DVD or whatever. Here's the MP3 and you watch it. So I didn't see the first one. Wasn't sure what to expect from this. The person I went with had seen the first one. About a quarter of the way into the film, I was pretty lost. David Yates was a director. He does an okay job with it. It's not him. But if you don't see the first one, Fantastic Beasts, see it before you see the second one. Otherwise, some things won't make sense. Whereas we've all seen sequels. You know, it's very helpful to see Return of the King before you see the other ones before you see Return of the King. But Return of the King could stand on its own. Yeah. Whereas this, you have to really see the first one. And so basically, Fantastic Beasts takes place in the 20s in New York. It predates Harry Potter. It's about a person named Newt. So it's not really a person you would know from the Harry Potter books, but basically he deals with all these magical creatures. He's played by Eddie Redmayne, and Eddie Redmayne is always good, but in this he plays a little bit socially awkward character. And he says early on in this film, whether it's good or bad, he's like, I don't choose sides. He's not a bad guy at all. He just doesn't want to get involved with the politics of everything going on. Johnny Depp plays Grindelwald. Does it with an English accent. Does it very subdued. He is definitely not Johnny Depp, as people think of Johnny Depp in this film. Grindelwald is the bad guy. He's like the Voldemort of these films. The film itself, Jude Law plays a young Dumbledore. You don't see a whole lot of Jude Law because it's not a film about Dumbledore. So if you're going into for that, don't. It's basically the same Harry Potter universe without Harry Potter and all that. The film is good. It never really is like Harry Potter-esque, I think, because, you know, J.K. Rowling did an excellent job over years and over books of fleshing out Harry Potter, whereas it's much more limited in what you can do with Fantastic Beasts, because the scope of the story itself is limited. But don't go in thinking this is going to be Harry Potter. Doesn't have the action, doesn't have the build up with the, or the built-in audience with the characters. Is it a good fantasy film? It is. It's good. It's not great. It gets better as it gets on, goes on. So even though I hadn't seen the previous film, the film started to work out and make sense to me, you know, after that first quarter of the film. It got better the more Johnny Depp was in it, and it got better with the other secondary characters becoming more a part of the story. So definitely go see it. Don't expect greatness. Is it worth a matinee? That's how I saw it. Definitely yes. If you're going to spend money, $15 on whatever, going to see it, you know, later in the day, maybe not. But see Widows, for instance. But definitely worth seeing. And again, just don't go expecting Harry Potter-esque film, Harry Potter universe, but not Harry Potter type film. And it's worth seeing.
Excellent. It's always nice to have a film that we can recommend, because all too often we watch movies so you don't have to. I will ask you a question, though. In this particular film, did you want to reach out to the screen and punch Eddie Redmayne in the throat? Because that's how
it's funny, because I've seen him in stuff he's good in, but he's never transcendent off the screen. You know what I'm saying?
I have to, because, you know, I thought he did a good job in The Theory of Everything.
Yeah.
And the only reason I didn't want to punch him in the throat in that role is because I have a lot of respect for Stephen Hawking, and I wouldn't punch anyone in the throat who was portraying him, but I still kind of wanted to. There's just something about him, and I acknowledge Redmayne is a very good actor, but to me, he kind of plays a character, all too often, that is just like socially awkward. I'm socially awkward, hell, that's not a problem, but there's just something kind of insipid about him. And kind of sniveling, and God, I just do not like the guy. And again, it's not personally, he might be fine, but I don't like the character he portrays. I don't like his acting style. I guess I'll put it that way. It just, man, it just hits me so.
You may not like this film then. It's snivelly is the perfect way to describe his character.
Yeah, the character's awful, and I don't. And to me, Eddie Redmayne's perfect for it. Because he kind of fits that, because I've seen notes of that personality in other performances. I mean, and no, he's not like Tim Allen, where all he can do is himself. But it's, the character of Marius in Les Miserables. I mean, it's just, dude, no. Just cannot handle the characters he typically plays, and he just seems to be born for that role, which is a sad thing. And I'm not going to go see it, because I did see Fantastic Beasts and I was extremely underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, this one's better. So last night I did see the first one just so I would have this one's better. The first one is just so slow developing. It's just ridiculous. But I will say there's obviously going to be a third one at least, or maybe a bunch more coming. But with my girlfriend Donna, and she rightfully said, you know, it's funny because even in Harry Potter films, and Jude Law, of course, plays the young Dumbledore, but even in the Harry Potter films and in this film, in these films, you've never seen Dumbledore just be badass. You know, like he has as much power as Voldemort. So I'm hoping that in one of the films coming up, that's what you see. You just see him, well, screw this, and just, you know, become Dumbledore, because that's kind of what I would hope would be happening in the next film, because at some point we need to see that, right? We need to, we know he's great because we've heard that he's great. I want to see the greatness.
Right. I agree. That would be, and it would be nice to give Jude Law the star turn and maybe cut some of the focus on the character of Newton. And in this case, I really don't have anything to do with Eddie Redmayne, but I mean, the character is not that interesting. The Fantastic Beasts, the whole concept wasn't about, oh, it's the adventures of Newt Scaramander. No, it's about the beasts. And he just happens to be the vehicle. And the beasts weren't that fantastic in the first one anyway, because the effects aren't great and blah, blah, blah.
There's less beasts really in this one. So,
which makes sense.
Yeah, but you're right. That's what it is. It's instead of Harry Potter, it's Newt Scamander. That's what we're watching.
Yeah, which is not that interesting. Not nearly as interesting, because the Harry Potter series is, not a huge fan of the movies, because I think they could have been better, but for their target audience, I think they're fantastic. They're extremely well done. And lots of action and the suspense, and the actors are good. So yeah, to me, this sequence is fallen down somewhat from the Harry Potter series, but you know, they're still worth watching. So I suppose if you can stand Eddie Redmayne. And Eddie, if you show up at my house, I will apologize to you. But when Steven Seagal is at Lee's house, Lee's going to whip his ass.
I don't know if I could do that. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see the next film have more Johnny Depp and Jude Law, because I think those two would play well off of each other.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any scenes to... Well, yeah, they don't really have any scenes together, but hopefully they will in the next one.
That was one thing that had me hopeful for this film is the trailers... seem to focus a lot more on these other characters rather than Newt, which is, like, to me, that's a good thing. So
there is an allusion to Dumbledore and Grindelwald at some point. Well, at some point being more than friends.
Yeah.
It does not at all go into detail. If a Republican went to see this film, hopefully they would not take away, oh my God, this is horrible for my children. and stuff like crap like that. But yeah, there is that. So I'm not sure if that's just the one shout out for J.K. Rowling saying, yeah, Dumbledore's gay in this film, and there'll be any more of it in the next film. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, it will be, because it's excellent if they do, but it is kind of dangerous territory because you risk alienating a large portion of your audience. Sadly, because you shouldn't. I mean, they shouldn't feel that way.
They shouldn't. And maybe I mean, she wrote the script, so maybe at some point she's like, well, I don't like those people anyway. I don't want them to see my films. I've got so much money. What do I care?
Quite true. I've personally guaranteed that we will cut $100 million off the profits of this film. I don't care. And good for you. Good for you. She seems to be quite a very cool, wonderful person. So happy that she has earned success.
A lot of success.
Yeah, a lot. From a very humble point in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's all we have, unless you have some parting thoughts before you rejoin us in about 6 to 8 weeks again.
There's that possibility. I do not have any parting thoughts other than go see Widows. Widows has great reviews. I haven't seen it yet, but it's got an 86 on Metacritic. And it's, you know, you mentioned maybe something to be thankful for. Even though I haven't seen it, I'm thankful that Hollywood is finally producing films with strong female leads, and this has 4 female leads, and it's an action film, so go see it.
I mean, imagine that. I concur. And we look forward to having you join us perhaps for a special Christmas show in probably 2020 or something. So
yeah,
thank you.
Hopefully
again.
There's a new one that's come out in the next 3 years that's worth talking about.
Hopefully. All right, Ruby, I guess that's the end of the show.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.